October is National Women's Small Business Month. Mix FM and Indiana State University Scott College of Business are celebrating all month with Women Mean Business.
We're speaking with Courtney Ritchie-Chipole, the Regional Director of West Central ISBDC. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's Indiana Small Business Development Center. And Courtney, I finally get to meet you. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as well.
Thanks for joining us for Women Mean Business.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask you a few questions. Tell us a little bit about you, because this is my first time meeting you.
Yeah. Well, you said I work at the Small Business Development Center. I'm super passionate about entrepreneurship. I've been there for 7 years. Before that, I worked at St. Mary of the Woods College and helped with our recruitment efforts in our graduate program. And I'm also an alum of both St. Mary of the Woods College and Indiana State University. So I both kind of jump back and forth career and education-wise between the two universities, but really passionate about starting and growing programs here in our community. And thankfully, my positions both at the Woods and at Indiana State University have allowed me to do that. And I have two small kids. I said small. One is still relatively small, getting ready to be 12, my daughter. And my son, I shouldn't have said small because he's not anymore. He's 15, almost 16, 6'3", so not small. But two kids here in the community as well, and have always brought them along with me to volunteer and entrepreneurship-wise. We started Lemonade Day here in the community. So I just love being here in the Tarot community, and definitely in my role at the ISBDC, because I can't tell you how many wonderful people I've met that want to start, grow a business, and I love being able to walk beside them in their journey.
That is awesome. Can you give us a fun or a surprising fact about you?
Yeah. Okay. So I actually still wait tables. I say that's what people say. What prepared you to be able to help businesses and manufacturing and restaurants and retail all across the board? And I say it wasn't actually my MBA. I mean, I benefit from that, but it was waiting tables, because you get to learn how to communicate with individuals, all types of individuals. And I think that's what has helped me help other businesses in this role. But a surprising fact is not that I still wait tables, but that I don't write anything down. And you know those servers that don't do that, and you're like scared, and you're like, my order is not going to be right.
Terrified.
Yeah, mine, that's not the case with me. And guess how many people I can do without writing anything down. And I work at a steakhouse, so like entrees, salad, soups, all that.
How many?
Yeah, take a guess.
A 12 top.
44.
What?
Right. Yeah. But
do you have a photographic memory?
Anybody that's listening to this, it's like, she owes me an email. Like, what? She can't remember to email me, but she can remember 44 orders, because it doesn't translate in my everyday life. It's like, because of the pattern of it. It does have to do with photographic. So I pay attention to the person I'm taking the order from. But then there's kind of a systematic process that goes on in my head. So yeah, weird fact.
That is weird and really kind of amazing.
Yeah, not super useful, but in my everyday life, but yeah, it is a fun fact.
It is useful.
Yeah.
I thought I was shooting high with 12. You're like 44.
I know, right?
Shut the front door.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what do you do with ISBDC?
So, I mean, I would say as the director, one of my roles is to advocate for our small businesses in the community. So I serve on the board of directors for the Tarot Chamber. I work a lot in groups throughout our region to make sure small business concerns are being thought of at the table when we're having community conversations. So that's the first thing, looking for funding opportunities to come to our community to be able to further support small businesses. But then I also do advising, which is what our other advisors do in our office, which is just helping individuals when you start a business, or if you're already in business and want to grow. Either way, it's very emotional, and it can be a very lonely journey when somebody starts a business, because they make great cupcakes and somebody said, hey, you should really sell those. They're like, great, I want to make my cupcakes. And then now people are asking them for their tax ID number, and they're trying to get a loan, and it's all this other stuff that they're not confident in and they don't know the answers to. So then it starts to chip away at what they are passionate about. So we get to come alongside them and help provide them the guidance that they need for that, help them answer their questions, help them think about things they hadn't thought about before. So it's kind of a mix between getting to actually advise, but then also making sure that the resources are there for our office to continue to do the work, and that we're bringing in new resources to our community for small business owners.
So is this just for new business, or, I mean, this could be somebody, this could be an established business, is that right?
Yeah, our business, or our office, even though we're called the Small Business Development Center, we can actually see any client that has less than 500 employees typically. So that's not super small. And it could be starting a business, it can be growing a business, it can be exiting a business. You just, you know, you're at the age where you need to sell and maybe you don't have kids to pass it down to, or they don't want part of the family business and you're trying to figure out that exit strategy. We help there. We have exporting consultants, we have government contracting consultants, manufacturing, ag. I mean, we do a lot in our office. So
now, you may have said this, if I didn't catch it, I apologize. Did you say that there's no cost to this? Is it low cost? What's the cost involved?
Absolutely no cost. You will never pay us a dime. And really, in our office, throughout the state, we've been able to advance our offerings, but definitely here locally because of some of our funding providers. But the biggest part of it is that one-on-one consulting. So you have MBA level, have their own businesses, you know, subject matter expertise consultants. We're not talking about volunteers. You know, I actually just brought on a new consultant. She's in New York because with COVID, people got used to doing virtual meetings. So it's allowed me to kind of open up and bring in new consultants. But she actually was on Shark Tank, got funded on Shark Tank. She was in, she had a gourmet frosting company, and she since sold it to a company in Canada and working on another food product. But I mean, so somebody can, that's starting a food business here in Terre Haute, can work with this person, or I mean, they don't have to be starting a food business, any kind of business. If they want to hear about how do you take your product into retail establishments, you know, how do you get funded by investors, they all can work with this individual and they don't pay a dime. We, like I just said, we have an ag business consultant, manufacturing business consultant, and these are all super talented individuals, and you will never ever pay a dime. We're funded through the Small Business Administration, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation at the state level, and then all of our regional offices have our own partners. So we're here at Indiana State University and the Scott College of Business. So they provide funding into our operations, and then we seek other funding sources in our community so that we can provide that level of expertise and the businesses don't pay anything. And every once in a while, we even have programs that help with more like tangible services. So right now I have a startup boot camp where individuals that are starting a business, we work with a local marketing firm and they can get their logo created at no cost, website created at no cost, photo shoots. I mean, the list goes on and some of the things that we've been able to do where we've sought out the funding from another partner to help pay for it on behalf of the business owner.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah.
I know you guys are doing something, I believe, fairly new right now, where you're helping to bridge the diversity gap with entrepreneurs locally. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, one, the state of Indiana as a whole, that's an initiative for us. And we've been working on different programs over the past, my tenure anyway, over the past 7 years. For instance, we hired a Hispanic speaking business consultant probably 4 or 5 years ago now that does evening meetings, weekend meetings. So trying to make our services more accessible. So we've been down that path anyway. But after COVID, the SBA realized that there was quite a gap in the businesses that received like PPP, EIDL, the disaster recovery initiatives. And they were like, what is going on? We do have SBDCs out here. Where is that gap at? And what they really started to see was, one, the further you are out from a metro area, so the rural areas, you're the least likely you were to know that there were services available to you, and then some other underserved population. So what they put out a call for additional funding called the Community Navigator Pilot Program. It was a competitive process. There were 751 applications. Only 51 were funded and only 2 in Indiana. And we were one of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So right here in West Central, so our 7 counties in West Central, we received $1 million for the next, to spend over the next 2 years on hiring new consultants and new outreach representatives. So it's providing the same level of work that I just talked about, that one-on-one advising, getting access to a food entrepreneur, getting access to an ag entrepreneur, but we're creating a better welcome mat, is what I said. You know, we're making sure that individuals know, one, that we're here by our outreach individuals going out and making those connections very intentionally. But then we have business advisors that also have been in these individuals' shoes. So I said before, starting a business is very emotional. That emotion carries through and is even intensified if you're dealing with other barriers in your life. So having a business advisor that you can ask some of those questions to that aren't just what's profit and loss mean, but it's hey, I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community, and I don't know if I put a pride flag out on my door or not. Like, what is, you know, I want to scream to the rooftops and I want to be authentic in myself, but what does that mean business-wise? How do I handle this? Or I did put a pride flag out and I'm getting pushback and I'm feeling a certain way about it. You know, there's all those things that go on that are even added on to, I don't know how to do QuickBooks, right? So being able to have a business advisor that can really talk to them about some of those challenges, I think is going to make the world of a difference in these entrepreneurs' lives. So we have a Black-owned business advisor and an outreach representative. We have a veteran-owned business advisor. We have an LGBTQ plus business advisor. We have a rural business advisor. And then we have a business advisor that's focusing on COVID recovery, individuals that are still suffering from trying to bounce back and now with inflation. Anybody that comes in through any of those channels can still meet with anybody on our entire team.
Whoever.
It's just about, before we didn't have we only had about 2 full-time advisors. So it was hard to go out and do the outreach. We helped the people that called us, but we didn't have time to go knock on doors to let people know. So having these outreach, and we have spokes that are partners as part of that, other organizations in the community that are going out. And the goal is hopefully they will renew the program. It is only a 2-year program. So the goal is that either one, they'll renew it, 2, we'll get another funding source. But either way, even if we don't get the additional funding to continue having that many advisors, that we've done enough over this 2-year period to create awareness in the underserved communities that these services are here. Because again, it's not that we're offering new services, we're offering the same services. We're just trying to make sure everybody knows about them. And that's really, people use the term diversity and inclusion, but what I really focus on is equity and equity and resources. Because you can be diverse, you can say you're inclusive, but are you really providing the same level of resources? Are you making that equitable among all business owners in this case? And that's what we're really trying to do, is make sure people know about those resources and know how to take advantage of them.
Have you ever had a female mentor or role model that you looked up to in your life?
Yeah, I do. So anybody listening, probably knows Susan Decker. So Susan was a colleague of mine at St. Mary the Woods College. She was over the Masters of Leadership Development program, which I actually went through as well as I was working there. And again, anybody that knows Susan just knows how much of a powerhouse she is. And I definitely looked up to her, and what she taught me over time, one was how to really think through situations. I mean, that's what I always thought she did so well, is if she came into a room, and especially if it was kind of a, there was like a conflicting situation, you know, there's somebody in a room that really believed one way and somebody that believed another way. She just had this great art about listening and then really finding a way to translate what was happening in the room between both of the individuals and helping them come to not necessarily even an understanding, but to where people understood the issue or the real concern. And I always admired that about her, because I watched her do it in a meeting of 3 people and strategic planning meetings, of really just making sure people understood what the true problem was or challenge was, and then really working that way to a solution. So I've always loved that. And I've tried to take some of the resources and tools that I learned from her and that she still does today, because she does nonprofit consulting, and bring them into the room when I'm consulting or helping businesses at a leadership level really get to the heart of the problem. So again, it kind of comes back again to what I made a comment about before, of communication, of just being able to communicate with individuals in the room. And that was always something that was important to me. And I saw that, to me, Susan had aced that. So I watched very closely over my time with Susan.
It's important to have an important role model in your life. If you could turn back time and give your younger self some words of encouragement, what would you say?
Words of encouragement, I guess I would say, life is going to throw you curveballs and you can't always be focused so much on a plan. I think when I was younger, I had what I thought my life was planned out. And we all know what we say about, you know, what God does when you try and plan. But then by having that plan and being it so have it so concrete in my head, when something happened that veered me off that plan, what should have felt like failure at the time, you know, like I this isn't how I thought things were going to go, you know, to take that and use it for encouragement to just push through to the next side. Cause you can't plan. Nobody can look back on their life. And I didn't even know when I got this position, that this type of job even existed, right? Like a business consultant that doesn't have to charge their people. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know. So for me to even think that this was going to be part of my plan when I was a younger individual, you know, but But back then, I thought I was going to be an interior designer. And if you would have came to my house, if you come to my house right now, you'd be like, thank God that is not the path you
don't
took.
Don't quit your day job.
Do not do that. But at the time, I thought I wanted to do that. And, you know, when I decided not to go that path, in the moment, it felt like I was taking a step back, if you will. But so if I were to say anything to myself in the past is, you know, take those speed bumps or those detours in your plans and make it just another step forward versus thinking it was a step back.
You know? This is important to have a plan, you know, because if you have no plan, then where's the motivation?
Sure.
But what you're saying is you have to be okay with that plan. Yeah, it's fluid. Yeah. It's fluid. Plan.
Exactly. Yeah. But being more fluid and making sure you take advantage of opportunities when they come your way. You know, if you feel like even though they might take you on a different path, it's important for you to just sometimes you have to take a leap of faith, you know, calculated risk, but leap of faith.
If we knew then what we know now.
Right.
Again, we're talking with Courtney Ritchie Chipple, and she's the regional director for West Central ISBDC. Courtney, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was nice meeting you.
You as well.